What we've got, I think, at Delphi and Olympia are some of the tensions that we're seeing expressed in the 8th century world. These pan-Hellenic contests are what allow the archaic Greeks, the Greeks of the 8th century and on, to define themselves as a nation. They provide them with a cultural context which acknowledges separate units across the Greek world, but also provides them with participation in a competition that is only open to the Greeks. Now, this is an important point. At one point later on, around the beginning of the 5th century, a Macedonian king applied to take part in the Olympic Games, and he was originally rebuffed. He was rebuffed on the grounds that he wasn't a Greek. He then returned and provided an elaborate genealogy that outlined his family's history, and he attempted to prove that his far-distant ancestors had come to Macedon from Greece, so that in that respect he was Greek. And as a result of that, he was allowed then to compete at the Olympic Games. So it was vitally important that you prove yourself to be a Greek in order to be included in the Games, and then by participating in the Games, you further demonstrated your Greekness. The people who deliberated on this, the people who decided whether you or you or you or you was a Greek, were known as the Hellenodikai, and their name means the judges of the Greeks. So inclusion in the Games actually affirms that you are a Greek. What this, I think, draws our attention to is that in the 8th century there was some concern with defining exactly who was and who wasn't a Greek and deciding what it meant to be a Greek. And this issue of ethnic identity, an issue which remains an interesting one in the modern world as well, particularly in societies like the United States, which have such diverse populations, the Greeks were thinking about this same sort of issue. And in Herodotus, we get a sense of what the Greek definition of Greekness is. Herodotus says that those are Greeks who share a common blood, a common language, a common religion, and common customs. Now, common blood should mean that people are actually born Greek because their parents were Greek. So this is a kind of a biological definition of being a Greek. But notice some of the other definitions there as well. Greek language. Well, presumably anyone can learn Greek. So that seems to open the door for the idea that there may be a cultural definition of Greekness. Religion and customs, similarly. In other words, to be a Greek, it's not enough to say that your parents are Greek and that your blood is Greek. You have to perform and live and act like a Greek. And for the Greeks, that essentially means competition. Now, this idea of competition is not only key to Greek culture, it is probably also the key to what is both best and worst about their culture. Let me try and explain this. A couple of years ago, a colleague of mine who teaches Japanese history approached me and asked me to join him teaching a class that would compare the classical Greeks and medieval Japan, the classical period of Japanese culture. And I liked the idea of a comparative approach, and he then sort of threw me for a loop by asking me, if you had to summarize the Greeks in a single line, if there were one poetic line that was somehow to get to the very core of Greek culture, what would it be? And that's a tall order. But after some thought, the line that did occur to me was a line that comes from Hesiod, Homer's contemporary in the late 8th century, around the time that these changes are going on that we've been talking about. And in one of his poems, Hesiod says, "All abroad the earth, there is not one, but rather two kinds of competition, of strife." The Greek word for it is eris. And he further goes on to define these and to say, the first of these is the spirit of strife or competition that leads you to emulate your neighbour and his success. So, for example, it's midwinter and you think you'll just sit cosily by the fire, but you look out and you see there goes your neighbour off to the barn to make some baskets so that when springtime comes he'll be ready to go out into the fields and do more work, whereas you then will have to spend your springtime doing the work you should have done in winter. Hesiod says, if you decide to copy your neighbour and to do the same sort of thing so that you'll be as successful as he is, then that is a good kind of strife or competition. The bad kind of strife or competition, he says, is that which leads you to envy of your neighbour, And I was made to think of this some years ago when a friend told me that he'd introduced a new technique for planting his vines in Greece, only to find towards the end of the season when his clusters were producing much fuller grapes than those of any of his neighbours, he came to the field one morning and found that all of his vines had been cut down.